So far in Colossians, you've learned that it's about one person. Who's that? If you're a guest tonight, you should be able to guess this one, all right? It's all about who? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. What is the heresy that Paul's contending with in Colossians? Gnosticism. Let's all say it together. Gnosticism. Paul's going to address that some more here. I'll be honest, I was very tempted today to skip this section of Scripture. And let's just read the first part. Colossians chapter 2, starting verse 6, page 1157. If you have this one. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with love. You're just guessing, aren't you? You're on the front row and you're just guessing. Doesn't say love, Robert. What's it say? See, I just wanted to skip this part. Because I felt like it would be really hard for me to preach tonight about overflowing with thankfulness. Because we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? And few of us are overflowing with thankfulness. And that is so hard. And I wanted to skip, and I wondered if anybody would notice if we just started in verse 8. And if anybody said anything, like Adam Rogers takes copious notes during the sermon, that he might have said afterwards, hey, what about 6 and 7? And I said, they don't matter. They're not important. What's important is verse 8. But I just couldn't get past this. Because he just starts off like, you know, maybe you're kind of here tonight and you're kind of wondering. Maybe you're 20 years old and you know you're a couple weeks from your last days of college. Because they don't allow you to continue to go with those kind of grades, right? Or maybe you're 30, and maybe it's your last days of marriage, and you just wonder what in the world's going on. Maybe you're 40, and everything you dream that you might be, you're just nowhere close to that. And you just wonder what happened. Or maybe you're, I don't think anybody here is over 40. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're very welcome. But we kind of look at our lives like that, don't we? I mean, does anybody just look at your life and just think, wow, this is awesome. I'm at such a great place. It's everything I ever wanted. Anyone? Anybody have a job like that where you're like, gosh, I can't wait to get up in the morning and just go to my job. I love those people. Anyone? Couple? All right. That's, you own the company. That's not fair. They're looking around, seeing if their employees are raising their hands. Anybody just think, I can't wait to get home and just spend some time with my wife or my husband because I just love the anyone? All right. Okay. Hang on. Raise your hands again. Yeah, thank you, honey. Thank you. I see you back there. I mean, most of us, that's not how we feel about our lives. You know, we're always wanting something more. You know, I've told you before a story about driving down the road with my son. And we had picked up two balloons. It was before we had the two daughters, you know, when my boys thought it was the perfect world. And me and Sam, he's in the back and he's holding two balloons, right? And the window's down and he's loving the air, blowing the balloons. And one of the balloons flies out of his hand out the window. And he says, Daddy. And this is Sam. He goes, Will's balloon just went out the window. We're just kind of like that by nature, aren't we? Paul writes, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Every once in a while, I get to go to other churches and preach. this doesn't always fit. The story I'm about to tell you doesn't always fit at Hillview. Sometimes it does. But you go and you're preaching and all these people are just standing there just looking at you. And they look like the most unhappy people you've ever met in your life. Right? People just kind of wander in. They sit down. You know, somebody sits by them. You can see them like, oh, gosh. Or Pastor Keith says, I want you to get up and hug each other. And you see people like, oh, God, seriously? You know? And the young single guys are like, they go like halfway across the room. Hi. But he says here, the first thing he wants you to know is how incredibly blessed you are because you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. And because you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, he says, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Now, this is kind of some repetition tonight because it goes back to how are you rooted in your faith? How do you get rooted in your faith? Will King, how do you get rooted in your faith? The word and pray, right? I mean, if you're in a relationship with Jesus, then you better know everything that you can know about him, and you better be spending abundant time with him. That's how you get rooted in the faith. He says, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Now, not everybody comes from a church background. Not everybody can say you were taught these things all your life. Probably a lot of you can. But the point is, we're being taught these things now. We know now. When I say on Wednesday night, you should pray and you should read your Bible, nobody's like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, you heard that. You've come to understand that that's how we grow in our faith. You are not dependent upon a preacher. And if you are, your faith is weak and shallow. Amen. Not too loud. But then he says this, and overflowing with thankfulness. I mean, the word overflowing is a powerful word anyway, doesn't it? Isn't it? I mean, doesn't it conjure up a lot of word pictures in your mind? Overflowing. Like you can think about things that you would like to be overflowing, right? Like your bank account. Overflowing. People affirming you. You're supposed to say it when I do that. It's the word picture. Overflowing. Okay, all right, just forget it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I even think about this, and this sermon's not about money, but overflowing with thankfulness. In talking to some people, there's some real misunderstanding about tithing even. Like we're required to tithe, right? Yeah. Okay, wow. And that's how the body comes together. That's how we have a church in Costa Rica, right? That's how we partially have missionaries in Kazakhstan. That's how we do all the things we do is that people tithe. And there is a principle of the tithe in the Bible, but there's also a principle of the offering. And the offering would fall under the category of overflowing with thankfulness. And let me just tell you this. You might want to jot this down. And if you don't like it, you can email me at scarborough@hillview.com. But let me tell you this. You can't even give an offering until you've given a tithe. It's very quiet in the room right now. Whenever you talk about money, you can't even give an offering until you've given a tithe. A tithe isn't a reflection of an overflow of thankfulness. A tithe is evidence of your obedience to Jesus. That's what the tithe represents. The offering represents an overflowing of thankfulness. And I want to say that because, here at Hillview, we don't talk about money a whole lot. It's not about money, but there is this biblical principle of tithing and of an offering. And it's not the tithe that reveals thankfulness. It's the offering, right? And that would apply in more than just money. You know, we got the single mom's oil change coming up March 31st, right? Thank you. And I'm telling you, that's a huge commitment. That is a huge commitment, all right? If you are going to come that day and work with the children, it's more than a huge commitment. It's a gigantic commitment. Amen. And so showing up and being a part of that is one thing, but showing up overflowing with thankfulness, you know, because I'll have people come up and say, listen, I'll do anything you want at the oil change except work with the kids. I mean, people say that. People tell me that because they see me as the leader, right, that I'm going to appoint where everybody goes. And I kind of do that, you know. But what, you know who I'm looking for? The person that comes and says, wherever you need me, that's where I'll go. Overflowing with thankfulness. This is hard. This part was hard because as I look at my life and I see how God has blessed my life, and yet how I just long for more. And I don't mean for more of Jesus, all right? But I want more. You know, I'd like our house. I'd like to have a bigger house, you know? I like my car, but you know, I'd like to have a newer car. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Please, somebody be with me in this boat. Okay. And no matter how much God blesses me, you know, it's just like it's not enough. You know? And the worst is, the most revealing thing about a heart of unthankfulness, is that a word, Adam? Unthankfulness? No. About a heart that's not thankful, what reveals that is like, you know, I can look and just see, man, God's really blessed me, and then somebody drives by in the car that I want. And I'm thinking, I wonder if they preach every Wednesday night. I wonder if they do all that I do, Lord. Anybody think about that? I mean, anybody see things like that? Anybody, like when you're having struggles financially, you feel like God's punishing you? Seriously, a guy told me that about 8 years ago. He said whenever he was struggling with his finances, he felt like God was punishing him for something. You know, and that's exactly how Satan wants you to feel about it. And he'll work doubly hard to see that you struggle financially, whether through your own bad decisions or life circumstances that cost money, so that you'll feel further from God. But Paul says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, here's what Paul is saying, okay? And this will be the biggest revelation for all of us. When you are rooted and built up in him, when you are strengthened in the faith as you were taught, then are you overflowing with thankfulness. And so what's revealed in a heart that is not thankful, what's revealed in that heart is a person that's not rooted, is a person that's not strengthened in the faith. That's the problem. That's the main. It's not. I forget what preacher preaches like the Beatitudes, and he calls them the be happy attitudes. And you hear preachers talk about it's a mindset. You know, it's not. It's spiritual. How are you how can you be thankful without Jesus? And I don't mean because of what he's done for you, but I mean without him in your life, how can you truly be thankful? And so the problem is with, I think, so many of us, the problem with thankfulness is not that we just need to change our thinking and be more positive. We're not rooted. We're not grounded. We're not strengthened in the faith. And that's the problem. That's why Paul's writing this. He goes on to say, verse 8, see to it, and this will prove my point, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, because we begin to buy into that stuff. We begin to think, man, when I'm struggling financially, or I'm struggling physically, or I'm struggling, you know, in some way, God's punishing me. And we feel like there's a distance between us and God. And the problem isn't that God's doing this to us. The problem is we're not rooted and we're not grounded. It's not spending time in His Word. I have people that you tell me all the time, you know, and sometimes it's just kind of a criticism of our church. Has anybody ever heard a criticism about our church? All right. Part of the criticism is that some of you all are here, right? That's the criticism. Do you know who goes to your church? Justin Gerald's. He goes, I'll never go to church that he goes to. This is some people. But here's the biggest thing. People say that the criticism of our church is that some people will say, well, think about Hillview. Hillview's not deep. Has anybody ever heard that? No? Just me? Okay. Hillview's not deep. You know, there's no depth that's there. And here's the thing. I don't know that I've been to a church that I would characterize as deep. You know why? Because it's filled with people. And while I'm sure there are few people of depth there who really want to walk with the Lord, whose hearts are overflowing with thankfulness, what reveals depth is thankfulness. Man, there's a couple of people in our church, and I think they're even in here tonight, so I'm not going to say their names. But they're going through things that I can't fathom going through. And you know what their hearts are? Yeah, thankful. They're thankful. Like sometimes when I see them coming towards me, I just want to go and walk the other way. Because I know what they're going to say to me. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, Pastor Jamie, I am so blessed. And like there's this place deep inside of me that's like wants to say, really? Do you know what I know? Do you see what I see? And they feel blessed. Obviously, somehow they have separated their life circumstances from their walk with Jesus. Now, this isn't popular, and whenever I talk about this, you know, I'll get emails. How many emails do I get? Thousands. Four. I get four, usually. You know, because people say, well, how do you separate it? I mean, if God's going to bless you, because if you watch TV preachers, and I'm not saying all of them, but most TV preachers will tell you, hey, if you'll really walk with God, He'll bless you financially. He'll give you excellent health, right? He'll give you all these things, and I don't find it anywhere in here. Paul says, in all circumstances, I've learned to be content. Why? Because I have more than anybody else could ever have in this world. I have Jesus. And listen, on a Wednesday night, sitting here at church, it is easy to say that. I mean, you know you're supposed to say that, right? I mean, when I go like this, 9 times out of 10, I want you to say, Jesus, right? I mean, it could have nothing to do with that. I can just say, Jesus. See, you're doing it now. But there's something about depth. There's something about a walk with Jesus that surpasses the circumstances of life, the things that you're going through, that you don't tie those things to God's punishment or God's blessing, that those things really do not stand in the way of you having a phenomenally deep walk with Jesus. And that's why Paul's saying this, because the preachers that we hear today on TV telling you that when God blesses you, He gives you health and wealth and prosperity, they were saying it back here too. not in the Bible, but the culture of the time was saying that, right? How do we know that? How do we know that's how the culture was? Because Job lost everything, and what did his friends tell him? Job, you must have done something. Ooh, God's mad at you. Man, God's really upset. You better be checking your life. And yet, what do we know for a fact about Job? He was upright. He was righteous. He was blameless, the Bible said. God said that about Job. And what we learn in Job is that no matter what happens in my life circumstances, it doesn't stand in the way of me having a phenomenally deep walk with Christ. But if you are not rooted and grounded in the Word, those things will easily hinder the relationship that you have with Jesus. Because when I feel like I'm being punished, I don't want to talk to Him. And when I feel like, you know, He's just doing this to me for some crazy reason, I don't want to talk to Him. But if you're rooted and you're grounded in the Word, then you understand that you have all that He has to give because you have Jesus. Listen to what he goes on to say. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. What does deity mean? Let's all say it together. What does deity mean? God. It means God, right? It comes from the Greek word theos, right? In Latin, it's, what is it, honey? Deos? She's not saying anything. Okay. Wake her up. Seriously, she needs to hear this. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. I've told you this before. Like, if I just am craving some negative emails, there's just one phrase that I have to say, and it just freaks people out. Does anybody remember what it is? I thought I heard somebody say it. Jesus is God. That's right. If I say that, people say, whoa, 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 wait, now he's the Son of God. Is that true? Yes. But he's also God. Yes. Paul is affirming that right here. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Somebody should clap or say amen. Wait. I'll read it again. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Amen. That's good. I appreciate it because these are on the internet, and it sounds so much better like when I say something and then everybody claps. Of course, we'll edit my saying that out, but over every power and authority. It is not uncommon. Pastor Jeff is in here somewhere, and he can attest to this. He already left, and he just walked out. Okay, never mind. Pastor Keith, he walked out too. So there are two of the people that get offended so easy right there. They just walk out. It's not uncommon that somebody will come to the office and is that horrible, Tyrone? I mean, what's going on? Will you two leave me also? Somebody will come to the office and they'll say, I think I'm possessed by a demon. They'll say that. And, you know, and maybe it's Monday and I haven't quite woken up yet. And I'm like, you say that again? Sounded like you said you had a demon in you. And if their spouse is there, they'll usually affirm that there is a demon in them. But I just want to teach you something very basic and simple. If you are saved, if Jesus lives in you, you cannot be possessed by Satan. It's impossible. Do you know why? Because we picture a lot of times this spiritual warfare, this spiritual battle, as being between God and Satan, and they're going at it, and oh, who's going to win? We think God's going to pull it out. It's not like that at all. It's like when I fight my son. Me and my son wrestle every night, right? And he's 12, and I can just hold his head like that, and he's just swinging, you know, kicking, and he can't get to me, you know? That's what's going on. Satan is completely under Christ's rule and power. Yes, Satan wreaked havoc on Job's life, but only after what? God gave him permission. Notice Satan didn't just go wreck Job's life. He had to have a conversation with God about it, because he knew he couldn't touch a hair on Job's head except that God would allow him and give him permission. So if the person in my office, as we're talking, and I'll say, you know, are you saved? You know, has Christ come into your life? Has he saved you, forgiven you of your sin? And they'll say, oh, yes, that's why I think Satan's inside of me, because he's so mad about that. And I'll say, well, it's impossible. You're either filled with Satan or you're filled with Jesus, but it can't be both. And Paul's saying this here, because it's Christ who is the head over every power and authority. Over everyone, every power, every ruler, every authority is subject to Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because when Jesus was walking the earth, Jesus could walk up to the tomb and say what? No, he couldn't say come forth. Because if Jesus had walked up to the tomb and said come forth, what would have happened? Everybody would have been coming out. And Jesus would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. What did he say, though, Robert? He said, Lazarus, come forth. You know why? Because he even has dominion over death. This is important. This is so important that we understand that. Because it affects how we look at life and how we look at the circumstances that come our way. And so, you know, we wrestle with this thing, because how many of you have had bad things happen to you? Keep your hand up. I'm waiting for everybody. Okay. We've had bad things happen to us. All right. And while it may not have been God, now some of the bad things happened to me, God absolutely caused, right? I preached a few weeks ago that God is totally willing to what? Wow, it was a very powerful sermon. Life-changing. To crush you, to crush me. He's absolutely willing to do that if that's what it takes. And sometimes God crushes me. Sometimes I crush me. Anybody ever do something so stupid it just crushes your whole life? Right? I do that weekly. Sometimes somebody else just crushes you, don't they? But we don't have to fear those things, because God is in control. And the toughest questions for me to answer, whether I'm at a funeral, I'm at the hospital, and somebody asks that question, what's the question they ask? Why? Why? That's hard. That's when we like to give Satan credit, isn't it? That's when we just like to say, you know, Satan, he's evil and he just does these things. But the truth is, Satan can't do a thing except that God allows him. It's like the man at the funeral of his 6-year-old son. And after the funeral, we were talking, and you can't fathom the pain of that unless you've been through it. I certainly cannot fathom the depth of that pain. And that father was crying his eyes out, and he had his arms around me, and he said, Pastor Jamie, why wouldn't God make a world with no death and no sin and no suffering? And the only thing I could tell him is, he did make a world like that, but it's not this one. This isn't that world. And so what Paul is saying, since we live in this world, before we go to heaven, you better be rooted and grounded in the Word. You better be strengthened in your faith. You better be overflowing with thankfulness. And you know why it's hard to be overflowing with thankfulness? Because we have no idea what heaven is going to be like, do we? Any of your kids ever ask you about heaven? You know, like, Daddy, will heaven be like the playland at McDonald's? And I'm like, gosh, I hope it's cleaner than that. Will heaven be like this or like that? And all I can ever tell my kids is, no, it'll be way better than that. And if you have a persistent child, they'll say, tell me then. What will it be like? Tell me. And all I can say is, I don't know. I just know it's going to be amazing. And I just know that if I had a glimpse of what heaven was going to be like, I would be overflowing with thankfulness. Because here's the key to thankfulness. It's not that I'm thankful about how horrible this world is. I'm thankful that I've been promised eternal life. And I'm overflowing with thankfulness. Because even if the bank calls and it's not good, right? And I'm begging them, can you give me 3 days? Right? Or the only car I'm totally dependent upon just is gone, right? How we overflow with thankfulness? Because we weren't made for this world. We were made for the world that's to come, and this isn't it. And Paul says, so be rooted and grounded in the Word, because they can take your car, they can take your house, they can take your health, but they can't take Jesus. He never breaks His promises. He's always faithful, and everything He says you're going to get, you're going to get. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you've been given fullness in Christ. You have been given fullness in Christ. What are you missing in Christ? Sounded good over here. Let me see the pagans. What are you missing in Christ? Nothing. All the fullness of Christ dwells in you, is what the Bible says. All the fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority, in Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. All the fullness of Christ is in you, is in me. If you're here tonight and you're a believer, all the fullness of Christ is in you. And so I can't explain why what is happening to you is happening to you. I don't have great answers for that, but this is what I can tell you. Whatever you face, whatever you're going through, you can make it. You can make it. How do I know that? Because all the fullness of Christ dwells in you. You can make it. You will make it. You will absolutely make it. I met with a person this week, and it's probably not going to end well. Marriage probably isn't going to last. I've told you all the time, it takes two people to have a great marriage. It only takes one to have a miserable one, doesn't it? It takes two people to make a marriage last. It only takes one for it to end. And this person is sitting in just that situation. And they ask the question, what am I going to do? And all I can say is, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Paul's saying these things about Jesus. And if Jesus didn't love you, these things wouldn't matter. But the Bible says that Jesus loves you. If you're saved, your sin has been forgiven, Jesus loves you. And whatever you have to go through, you have to go through none of it alone. He will be with you every step of the way. Every blow that is thrown. And here's what you and I will never know on the earth. We'll never know how many blows were thrown. We know how many were landed, don't we? But we'll never know how many were thrown, how many he stopped, how many he blocked. But there's this unbelievable thing about Scripture, is every blow that you've received, Jesus received it too. And in the same way, just as Jesus died on the cross, that's the one that he stopped, if you're a follower of Jesus. And you will not taste death in the sense of spiritual death. Because when Jesus rose from the grave, then that made possible for every one of us eternal life. But it's about Jesus. Everybody hear that? It's about Jesus. Guys, if you want to come out, we'll get ready to have altar. It's about Jesus. You can work as hard as you want to work, but if your salvation depends at all, anything, any bit of it depends on you, you're not saved. Jesus doesn't partner with you to save you. He saves you based on his merit, because of who he is. It was his blood that was shed on the cross. And if you're here tonight and you've thought in any way that you're going to get to heaven because you've been a pretty good person, you've done some good things, you've tried to encourage some people, you're not always overflowing with thankfulness, but for the most part, you feel like you're a thankful person. If those are any of the reasons why you think you'll be in heaven, I'm going to tell you tonight, you're not going to be in heaven. Because the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. We've all sinned, and that means every one of us is in need of a Savior. But the Messiah has come. And he died on the cross, and he rose again. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. I don't want anybody looking around. Just bow your head. If you're here tonight and you're willing to admit, you know, I guess maybe I thought part of my getting to heaven was doing some good things. Just raise your hand real quick and put it down. Okay? 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 All right? Wow. The only way that we can be found righteous in God's eyes is that we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. It's the work that Jesus has done on the cross. And I want to invite you tonight to this altar. If you've never invited Christ to come into your life based on his merit, because of who he is, I want you to come. But also tonight, maybe you're just sitting right in the middle of life circumstances. And maybe it's the doctor, maybe it's the bank, maybe it's work, all kinds of things. And you just haven't wondered if you're going to make it. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar tonight. And I'm just going to ask you to say this prayer when you come to the altar. Lord, I know that you live in me, and that whatever I have to face, I'm going to make it. Whatever I have to face, I'm going to make it. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the cross and the resurrection. Thank you that in all the blows of life, you are still Lord. Thank you that no power or authority has dominion over me, because I am yours. I belong to you. Help us to be thankful. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. This altar is open. Don't wait. Just come. Don't wait to see who else is coming. Just come. If you need to come to this altar tonight, you come.